Not this one. Torahway, Northwest London, Ches Elul, 25th of August, Reb Dudi Rosenberg Shlita on Parshas Kisetze.
We'll start with the end. The Sedlus finishes with the Parsha of Amulek, which we know, the one which we actually recite and read on Parsha Zucha, Asher Chulu Amulek B'teich B'Seizchem Mitzrayim. But there is a Parsha which is Sumach, which is juxtaposed to the earlier one, and that is Layeb L'chu B'chizchu Even V'Uven G'doylu K'tan. Weights and measures. And there the Torah forewarns us that people who are grocers, especially in those days, and they had salt, flour, sugar, and they had underneath their counter special clandestine set of weights, which said 1 ounce, but it was short, about a couple of percent. Half a pound, also marginally shaven off at the bottom so that it doesn't quite make it. And the Gemara says that you know when Amulek comes, when your weights and measures are not as they should have been, and therefore, that's as a consequence, Amulek will come. Interestingly, so the other time Amulek is mentioned in the Torah, in Parshas Beshalach at the end, and then tells you the story that happened. Vayuvay Amulek, vayiluchem misru berafidim, etc. And then, if you look at the preceding Parsha, speaks about Yidden crying out, Hamibli an kivurim b'mitzrayim, hayesh Hashem b'kirbayinim oyim, is there a Rebbein Shlolem amongst us? Is there not a Rebbein Shlolem amongst us? Comes the Gemara once again and says, you know, when Amulek comes, when Yidden question the existence of God. And if they say, Hayesh Hashem b'kirbayinim ayin, there's that element of doubt, which is synonymous with Amulek, who is Gematria Sufik, as we know. That is when you are inviting, so to speak, the presence of Amulek. Fragt Reb Moshe Feinstein in Durash Moshe Bombe Kasha. He says, let's get it straight. What is it? What actually brings the presence of Amulek? Is it the element of Middois imishkulois, weights and measures, and this is actually the prevalent problem? Or is it the issue of chesuron and eminent rabbin shkulam, hamibli and kvum mitzrayim, ayesh Hashem b'kirbayinim oyen? So, to illustrate, by way of the answer, we'll take a couple of ideas. A man goes to shop in Bond Street. He's in the shop, very exclusive shop for clothing. Men and women's outside pulls up a roller, beautiful brand, 23 model. Chauffeur gets out, opens the door, out comes the lady, adorned and dressed in the finest and the best. Ferragamo shoes, Chanel outfit. Alle pitchef gus, but chili rechimi. Walks into the shop and she's looking to buy a pair of gloves. And she comes close by to where this man is standing, and as she's trying on these very various styles of gloves for £1,200 a shot, and in order to try them on comfortably, she takes off her ring, which is a 12-carat emerald cut to the tune of about 200k, and puts it down on those little round tables, the high ones in the shop, and goes trying on the gloves, but this man is standing there and he's looking at this diamond ring, winking to him invitingly from the corner of his eye. And lo and behold, he checks around with his greedy eyes and the CCTV is not actually focused on this part of the shop. Because it's a corner part where the glove section is, he's got his back to the camera and very overwhelmed by this tremendous desire to acquire this ring and the fortune which goes with it. He nips the ring, puts it into his pocket, turns around walks out of the shop before the lady has a chance to take off her first glove. Scenario one. Scenario two. Much easier. He's supposed to get a statement from the bank. The man gets a statement. Instead of getting £1,000 that he deposited, the bank has credited his account on the computer with £10 million. A glitch. These things have happened in the past. But this man is very well versed, very, very, very savvy, and he actually knows how to transfer those funds to an offshore place where the Yeshuma Vele Yizucha Vele Yipuka Le Oilam. And he makes a quick exit to the Seychelles and retires there, everlasting bliss in a deck chair with a martini for the rest of his life. Scenario three. Radin. And we have a shopkeeper who's got flour, and he's got sugar, and he's got salt, and he's busy every day making panusa. But the only way he feels he can make panusa is by having those, abridged weights, those weights which are clandestinely shaven off the bottom and rubbed and scrubbed so that they don't quite make the weight, and he's busy every day giving his customers with a smile salt that didn't quite make the ounce, sugar that didn't quite make the pound, and flour which was marginally short of it, and packaging it and day in, day out, 80, 90, 100, 120 times a day, he's busy making this Geneive, the Geseile, with alle Pitschewkes, stealing custom after custom after custom with what? Mammish peanuts. But he earns, Lamazugen, £1,000 a week. And with the Geneives and the Geseiles and everything that goes with it, he earns £1,180 a week. Sagt Reb Moshe. What is the shopkeeper? Is he a Ganev? Is a koifer beik. He does not believe in God. So he says, why? Because God is good for the first £1,000. And that he realized that the Moinstein will send him the customers into the shop and he'll sell and he'll make a profit and he'll make panusa. But for the £180, he has to help God by way of weights and measures which are deficit. They are short. And he's stealing day after day, time after time, hour after hour, literally minute after minute, because every single person that comes into this shop, he is machadish, another way of how to steal from him with another couple percent, and that gains him another extra £180 a week, and for that he's going to make the little extra bit of panusa. Is that ganav? Yosef is a ganav. But it's much worse than that. He really doesn't believe in God, because he really believes that the only way he's going to come to the extra 180 quid is by doing this very premeditated evil. Zogt Moshe, the two parshas are synonymous, they're perfect, they work out fine. Inside the parsha in Kisaitzeh, inside the parsha in Beshalach. Both come down to the same thing. Chesuvn in a minne in the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. They said, Amiblia Gvube Mitzrayim, but they said, Hayayish Hashem Bekirbayni Emoyin, is God amongst us or not? Then, says the Medrash Vayuvay Amulek, Amulek comes as a result. And Memaila, the Parshin Kisaitze, which speaks about our week of Middles and Mishkulas, is the same thing, because the person who dabbles in this type of misdemeanor is actually a koifer beike, as Reb Moshe explained. And therefore, we understand that the parsha which comes before Zuchayas, Ashes, Uluchu, Amulek, is the parsha of Lo Yeluchu, Bekischu, Evin, Ve'evin, Gedoylu, Iktano, which actually symbolizes the Chesugen in the Minna in the Reb Moshe. Clear. Yes, again. So which brings us, let's go back, we go in reverse, from the end to the beginning, if we get that far. Okay, so it says like this. This time a nice thought, which I remember I saw about the Indian of somebody who works in a field, and, oh, you know, let's go back to the beginning of the Seder, we'll go right to the extreme. The Pasha Fibet Sari Moira.
We've got the soldier comes out to war
and he sees this lady, and she's adorned specially for the purpose of luring him out of war and into other activities, and he sees that, you know, he really desired this woman, and the Torah says to him, you know, it's not such a good idea. We mentioned this on the day when Divis Nishgivin, and I came in for 3 minutes before, but that's not the kid that we spoke about, Tzachpoitz and Chayfetz, and we spoke about the difference of Chayshek and the two different Nishgivin. But now the Torah says to you, you should know that if you marry such a woman, the outcome is dire. It's very unlikely. Because first of all, you'll hate her, and second of all, even if you have a child from her, he's going to probably be a Ben Soren Boira. But then we come to the Ben Soren Boira, and the Torah says to you, very interesting, in Halukas, which fall in line with the Gemur and Sanhedrin, which says, just like the passage we had before, on last week's Seder of Yira Netachas, he also says to you, yeah, it's true. Drosh v'kabel scha. So normally we explain drosh v'kabel scha that, you know, you might not have it as a practical application, so to speak, but expound in this subject, and Rebbein Shlom will give you the due reward, because after all, it's the wissensan that you will get reward for learning Torah, for the purpose of learning Torah. But others say drosh v'kabel scha means, no, look well into this, really delve into it, explore it, and you will find the Kabbal Scha, you'll find the due reward that once you see and examine and explore the subject of Masora, the pearls are there, they're beautiful, they are mamish diamonds, you just have to look into it more. So let's look into it a little bit deeper, and we'll see that the Gemara speaks about B'nayin Yizeh Shemaya B'Kolayni Aineni Shemaya B'Kolayni Zoyle V'Soyve. He does not listen to hearken to our voice, and he is a glutton and a drunkard. And the Gemurah's got many limitim there, and that probably stands to reason as to why Ben Sirgan never happened. We never heard that the voice of the father and the mother should be the same. He's got either a very, very high-pitched voice like a lady.
He speaks very, very gruffly like a man. A very strange combination of a husband and a wife that should have exactly the same voice, which really doesn't quite work. But there's another diak in the pusik, and the other diak in the pusik is that he says Aineni Shemaya B'Kolayni. Says the Gemara Prat L'Chayreshen. Prat L'Chayreshen means that the father and mother are deaf, and then he can't qualify as a Ben Soren Boira. There's only one problem. That the Pusik is not speaking about the parents. The Pusik is speaking about the son. And the Gemara doesn't say that. Again. B'nayni zeh, soyre emoyre, aineni shemaya b'koylaini. He does not listen to our voice. So the Gemara says, perat l'chayshin, if the father or the mother are deaf, he doesn't qualify as a ben soyre. Or divorce b'shan. So again, I give you a scenario. A man comes into Shil tomorrow morning, Shabbos, bright height, well after Shochan Ad, really up to, almost up to Krishma, in a Titzachon and Talas, with a bright Bochenavshi, and hits 3-4 people, the casualties around him with his tzitzis, and sits down next to his friend, and goes to the Financial Times, with all the pitch of curse, and then he speaks to his friend, you know, Yankee made a killing on that property this week. Psh, did you hear? Then the Moshe gekauft das arme Ziel. Somewhere there, out there in the West End. Hoghead. And then going on, and then he's speaking about that. They say that Groenem in Manhattan Garden is also doing very well, you know. I heard this. Sky zum Zeigen. And then by the time they're up to Gual Yisrael and up to Shimon Esser, and he decides, good idea to put in a couple of words for God too. And then by Kedisha, a strange thing happens. You know what? He turns around and he sees that his son, Shana Bar Mitzvah Bucher, is speaking to his friend.
And blood rises to his face, gets red as a beetroot, turns around, gives him a thrust. Mit davon redt man, scheiget. Or, same father comes home, and in the evening, he's worked a long day, he's put in a full day from the morning, and in the evening he comes home and he sees the son sitting there next to the square box, Heiligen television, and he's watching, comes him, butlen eine, azoi pamitschit mit de jung, how are you going to spend your life? Learn my Yiddish word, do something, care, boy sitting here watching television for nourishing. And then the boy gets up, scared of his father, because rage works, it's a terrific vehicle, you know, if you want to get somebody to do what you want, you get to a temper, and then, whoa, the only body starts fleeting around, and everybody's scared of you. And son leaves the room, but out of the crack of the door, just as he's closing the door to the morning room, he sees a very fascinating sight. His father sitting down in the armchair, just down to supper, takes the machine, switches over the channel, and sits down to watch the next movie. What's wrong with the father? I tell you. He's deaf. Because he doesn't hear what he's saying. He says, don't do what I do, do what I say. And Memaila, he's speaking to a child with mixed messages. And the child hears that the father says, do something, but don't take any notice of me. I do exactly the opposite. Like with the davening, like with the television, etc. Plenty of examples like that. Zog der Heilige Gemurre, ein Nenni Shemaya Bekalaini, says the Gemurre Sanhedrin, you should know. This child is a Benzori Moira because he doesn't listen to our voice. Prat lechagshin, this does not include parents who are deaf. Because they say one thing, they do something entirely different. That child is not Benzori, he's just getting mixed messages. He's a confused child. And that's why he's gone off the rails. But if, for example, the father and the mother are people of integrity, people who are upright, and they actually maintain the same lifestyle that they ask their children, and they work by role model, then that child is normally would grow up watching his father and mother, and perhaps come, and if he doesn't, then he's got perhaps the ingredients of a Ben Sore Moira, but not the other one. So the Gemur doesn't say, Gemur says, is referring to the parents, not the son. If the parents are deaf, chas v'shulam kim teros hazab in soire moire. Eibshe helfen soll solche sagen. Sie ja, gesinnte El in Aksivich sima teuwe, and I'm sorry for wasting your time in trying to fill in for Udom Chushim Lakar Bahad. Ich